the participation of members who are here right now. So let's go ahead and proceed. Mr. Gordy, if you could come back to your presentation. So members, any other questions that you have? Any other comments? Any suggestions you have? I want to make sure, Senator Wigger.
Madam Chair, Mr. Cordy, there was some reference in the draft bill about lottery selection. And does this apply for charter schools as well?
Mr. Cordy.
Madam Chair, Senator Wigger, the way that it currently works now is that if a charter school is at capacity and cannot accept a student, then they need to have a lottery. That's how the current charter school law works. This would align how district, the traditional school district open enrollment would work. If they also were full as far as program capacity was concerned, it wouldn't be a first-come, first-serve application process. All students who applied would be put into a lottery, with the exception of siblings who would be able to get preference under the statute. Or if it was an integration and achievement transfer, then you could also get priority in the lottery.
Thank you.
Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm very happy to see about the CTE funding, having more flexibility. I know that was always a problem, and it's such an expensive area to purchase equipment, and having more flexibility for schools is great. Another comment about Section 7, the continued enrollment for students placed in foster homes. I believe McKinney-Vento already states that they can stay in their home district, and it may be a duplication, but probably a good clarification as well, but it is there.
Madam Chair, Senator Clausen, this did come from our school finance folks who deal with transportation. I do believe the idea was to kind of mimic that McKinney-Vento language that exists for homeless students and extend that to children who are in foster care as well.
Mr. Cordy, I have a question about Section 17, and that's the Minnesota Libraries and the Task Force. An issue that I hear in the community is that this process of just naming a task force to do some of this work has become, you know, kind of unclear to members in the community, because they know kind of when the session starts and when they can participate, but they are not clear, you know, about when the task forces meet and how they can participate and provide feedback. So some members in my community have expressed some sense of dismay, and you know, really they feel like the process of task forces is not as open as our legislative process is. So I have been thinking about how we could I understand, you know, the need that we have to get some of these things done outside of this process that is so short. But part of what I would like to do is establish some kind of a guideline and hear from the department as to what do you want to accomplish. It seems that, you know, you already know why you need input, what are some of the issues that you are concerned about that you need, you know, to clarify. So in forming a task force, I think I'm going to work with members to figure out how do we establish some kind of a guideline that tells us, you know, the task force is going to help us clarify or expand on ABC. So it's not such an open kind of invitation, because people get very confused about then what do we do with the recommendations. So I would like to encourage you to give us a little bit of more substantive information as to, you know, what are the challenges that you see out there, what are the opportunities you see out there, so that we need to have further input or recommendations from people who are involved in those areas, you know, to govern different parts that we may need to hear from. So some kind of more practical guidance as to what you're trying to find and who is, you know, in your view, could provide that information to us so that we have more information before us.
Madam Chair, definitely. I will check with our library folks who had came up with this presentation and ask them to maybe be a little bit more specific in the charge language that is created in here. I think as far as membership goes, there's always a struggle between if the commissioner appoints the members, then it goes through the open appointments process through the Secretary of State's office, which is, you know, an opportunity for members of the public to submit applications and get involved. But then, you know, then it looks like the commissioner is appointing everybody. So there's always that struggle between does the commissioner appoint or do we single out specific entities that appoint the members, which is kind of more of the structure that happened here. So certainly there's always a balance that can be struck in how to make sure you're getting all the entities you want represented, but also members of the public who might otherwise be interested but aren't affiliated with a specific organization.
Thank you. Members, do you have any other questions? Okay. So what I would like to do, members, is make sure that you communicate with my office as I intend to author this bill. And any concerns that you have, any suggestions, anything that you would like to add, delete, suggestions you have, please connect with us as soon as you can so that we can begin to really figure out how to address your concerns. Any other questions? If not, we will adjourn for today. Thank you, members.
Thank you.
Thank you.